Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, your number one source for everything workspace by the Tab Geeks Network. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. Happy December! Can you believe the year is almost over? I know, stop reminding you. That being said, as it's the end of the year, we have some awesome stats from our friends over at Spotify for our podcast. Now keep in mind, this is only the Spotify numbers because it was provided by Spotify. So the audience and the plays are much higher overall. Steve has heard some of these, but not all of these, so we're going to see his reaction live here on the show. We have created, so far this year, 1,982 minutes of new content and counting. That's more than 96% of other creators in the technology category.
Wow. That's a lot.
Right? That's a good one.
Yeah.
We were heard in 35 countries around the world, with our top five being the United States, Sweden, thank you, Kim, the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia. We are in the top 15% of most followed podcasts. Not bad. And we released 39... Well, this was as of a couple of weeks ago already, because we're up to, what is this, episode 49?
49.
Well, this is 39 video episodes this year, but I'm pretty sure that we started, we were doing video episodes at the beginning of the year. So
yeah,
I think they just weren't counting them all because we were in the beta for releasing video episodes. So I think they just didn't start counting from the beginning of the year there. But we were in the top 10% most viewed video podcasts on Spotify. So wow, pretty awesome.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
And we gained 73% new followers. So huge numbers there. And they have this thing where they do a, I forget what they called it. It's a podcast listener's personality. They've classified all you wonderful people as the enthusiast. Your listeners are super fans. When their favorite podcast releases a new episode, they're among the first to know, going above and beyond to show their support. So thank you all you wonderful people, wonderful listeners. Thank you for being there and listening and being super fans. Pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
How's it going, Steve? It snow out there yet?
No, none yet. Still... still cold though, as there should be some snow given how cold it is, but
yeah.
Nothing yet. No, it was like -6 this morning, I think they said.
Ooh.
I mean, that's Celsius, so I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say Celsius or Fahrenheit.
Yeah, it's Celsius. It's like
not
below freezing,
as cold.
6 degrees below freezing. looking at this week, it's a pretty quiet week. But there's a cool one though. Chrome has made some announcements here on their version 108, and there's a few things in the admin console and security that are making its way into the workspace admin console under rules, which is cool. I'm only seeing it in some of my environments, but that's why I was part of the delay in us getting the recording started here, about an hour and 20 minutes past our scheduled start time.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little late.
Yeah. There was also some audio issues. I couldn't get my microphone working for some reason. I had to grab a new XLR mic. But
you sound wonderful.
Yeah. Managed to get things working nonetheless, eventually. And the two updates that we have for this week that came out were the ability to use Cloud Search Query APIs to set suggest filters to enhance cloud search results. An interesting one there. And then some improved meeting quality when joining on virtual machines. I can only imagine how few people do that. But I don't know, maybe there's a decent amount of people that do that. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of companies that are requiring users to, remote into some environment and do
yeah.
meeting from there.
If you're only allowed to log in to your account from that machine... I suppose, but doesn't that defeat most of the purpose of what we've done here?
Right.
The whole ability to log in from anywhere, I don't know. We'll talk about it later.
So those are the two updates that we had this week. And then in the release notes for Chrome Enterprise, the version 108, we saw a few things being released there. There's some Chrome OS data controls. There's an app details or installation requests. the app and extension usage reports. There's some new Chrome browser cloud management sign-up experience. There's also delegated delegated admins, so they can now see all of their devices. And then there's a bunch of new policies in the admin console. So that is what we were seeing there in terms of updates. And then in terms of some things we've seen elsewhere in the news, the alpha bundle and community and announcements, all those things are going to be shifting how they make you aware of what those new alpha bundle features and releases are. So you're going to have to get that from the Google Cloud community, so in GCC. So this could hopefully perhaps increase usage and adoption of GCC, maybe. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they decided to shift it all there. But that email came out, I think, today, just this morning. And there's a bunch of information that we will include on how to, you know, get into that GCC environment and get access to the restricted area there if you don't have access already. And then a couple other topics here. We have ChatGPT, which Jesse, you know all about, but basically it is an AI for creating content and text articles and text content, right? So that's what that is. And then we have a very special part of today's episode, something that we've not done before on an episode. We'll leave that.
Okay.
To the update there. We'll surprise everyone.
Basically, you're gonna make people stick around.
You're gonna want to wait to see this. You're gonna want to see this as well. You're gonna want to actually tune into the video if you haven't already. So if you're listening to this right now in the audio only version, feel free to listen a little while longer, audio only if you must. But you will want to tune in to the video.
Head on over to YouTube.
Head over to YouTube and watch what Jesse's about to do here at the end of the episode, what he's about to reveal.
Drum roll, it's please.
Pretty cool. Yep. How about that for a little teaser?
There you go. So totally going to put what I'm about to do in the headline, but no, just kidding.
Oh,
wow. I won't. I'll let it stand.
You know what? Yeah, do it without it. And just say like, and then wait for our surprise at the end.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Something like
that.
It's
like, it's like those videos, watch until the end, and then it's just some lame-ass disappointing thing.
Oh, God. I watched two or three of those today. Oh, so boring. Yeah.
Nothing happens. It's like, what is wrong with you people? Unbelievable. But, you know, it gets the click, so we're all being manipulated. We're not manipulating you here, folks. There's something exciting. I will give you a hint. We have mentioned it before that it was coming. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Yeah. Got it. There you go.
Onward.
All right. First one here that we have, the ability to use that Cloud Search Query API to suggest filters to enhance cloud search results. So now it's going to be a little bit easier to configure and use Cloud Search filters and facets with multiple enhancements to the existing functionality. So you'll be able to do these great new additional capabilities for all of you people out there. I don't know anyone that uses the Cloud Search API. I don't know anyone. I'd love to talk to someone that uses this and what organization they're in that uses this. It's going to have to be a pretty big org, I think, to take advantage of this.
Well, we know some people that have big orgs, so
yeah,
you're welcome to join us.
So there's faceting support here for integer type fields. There's out of the box faceting support for document size, document creation, and custom date fields. Some new default reserved operators for document size and created date fields. Just so exciting! Simplified query API response with filters being directly provided in the response. I mean, that's wow. Earth shattering there.
Read it again, Steve. Please don't.
yeah. So for the admins and developers, there's some documentation there for more information on how to use the new facet enhancements. And for the end users, you're not going to have to do anything. It's just going to automatically, you'll see them once your admin has configured them. Isn't that amazing? And it's available now to all Cloud Search customers. All right, and then next we have here that improved meeting quality when joining on virtual machines. So if you are using a virtual desktop interface, such as Citrix or VMware, to join Meet calls, you are going to start to notice some increase in video and audio quality. So Meet's going to be able to detect whether you're joining from that VDI and automatically adjust for the best performance. So it will help cut down on the demand that you put on your VDI, such as CPU and GPU, memory usage, and then just overall help improve that Meet quality performance. And things that you can do as an admin here to help make sure that Meet can detect that it's running inside a virtual machine is enable the Enterprise Hardware Platform API policy in Chrome. And there's some information on how you can go ahead and do that. From an end user perspective, no actions needed on your part. It will start to work there. And then rollout for this. This will be on a gradual rollout starting the 30th of November, giving it up to 15 days for feature visibility for both rapid release and scheduled release domains. And this one will be available to all Workspace customers, as well as the legacy G Suite Basic and business ones. So there you go. That wraps up the updates for the week. And then as we jump over into the Chrome updates here for version 108, we mentioned that the first one there on the list is that there are some Chrome OS data controls. This is pretty cool. So this is going to, if you are familiar with your DLP rules over in the admin console there, if you're an enterprise customer, this is going to give us an extra option under the rules create rule dropdown. It is going to fit right alongside the activity, data protection, and trust rule. So you will start to see another one there. And I want to make sure that I get the name right, because I think it says something. What does it say here? I'm going to find it. Log in our admin console. It says Chrome action. So you're going to say create rule and then Chrome action. And then that will allow you to create a Chrome action policy. And from here, as you go into continue to create that, you will have these triggers to apply. And they will be under the Chrome OS kind of operating system headline here. And keep in mind this is Chrome OS data controls. You will get five different options. So you'll be able to trigger when a user copies and pastes content. So they could be text, images, files, or other items. You can trigger when a user prints contents, when a user screen captures content with built-in or third-party tools. And then you can also use screen share when the user has screen shares content with built-in or third-party tools. And then finally, you can trigger the electronic privacy screen being available on the user's device. So some devices have built-in privacy screens, hardware trigger capabilities, and you can turn on a privacy screen automatically if they are visiting, let's say, a certain page within your platform. And then in terms of conditions, this is where Chrome will start to trigger it based on the URL of the page that the user is on. So define that. There's a list of URLs that you can set there. You can use wildcards, and that is pretty straightforward. And then from the action perspective, you have a few different options. You have four options there. You have allow, block, warning, or just report. And if you just report on that, for example, you can start to just keep an eye on, let's say, how many times someone is copying and pasting content from certain pages and start to see all those actions. So What you will also need to do is you'll need to head over into your admin console and enable some Chrome user settings under data controls. You'll need to enable data controls reporting. I believe by default it will probably be disabled. I think, Jesse, you noticed that it was disabled in your environment.
Yep.
So you will need to go ahead and enable that. And then hopefully with a little bit of time, it will start to show up under the create rule. I don't know how it shows up under create rule because I'm in an environment that has Beyond Corp on it, that has Enterprise Plus, that has that enabled, and I'm not seeing the option under the create rule under Workspace Admins, for example, but I am seeing it in another domain. So there's definitely a lot of things to research and dive into with this new feature. There's a lot of things to kind of learn, you could say, in terms of how this is set up. It reminds me of the days of setting up Identityware proxy and context store access back when there was like little to no documentation on it. And I was just like figuring it out. It's kind of what this one feels like a little bit. But hopefully it will be a little bit better than that, because generally speaking, the documentation is better with this. But that's what you'll get access to, is that capability there. And it doesn't mention anything about requiring Beyond Corp from an additional cost license perspective. It just says that it will be part of the integrated OS level capabilities and allowing an admin to track, restrict, or report on those following actions. So it does not mention anything about Beyond Corp being a requirement that I could find in any of those following on links. All right, so that's that one. A lot to talk about there, just because it covers quite a lot of things.
Pretty dense, but, dense yeah, show so it far.
Is. It is. Yeah. The next feature here that we have with Chrome is that ability for app and extension usage report. So it'll be a new warning icon for extensions that are still using the manifest version 2. So let me see here. App to the insertion request. Yeah. And actually, wait. Here we go. No, that's the next one. I'm jumping ahead here a little bit too much. App details installation request. So a list of extension requests that were previously shown in the right panel sidebar, now shown in a card in the app details page called installation requests. So this is going to allow admins to see requests by org unit, browser, or user, and making it easier for admins to make granular installation decisions. So check that one out. The next one is that app and extension usage report. So that is the warning icon for extensions that are still using that manifest version 2. And this is just a way that you can start to see which are going to be hopefully migrating to version 3, for example. So there is some manifest version 2 deprecation timeline and some information there. I believe it looks like that is going to be the end of January 2024 when some of that comes to an end. Then next, in terms of updates here, there's a new Chrome browser cloud management signup experience. So IT admins can now sign up for Chrome browser cloud management, CBCM, also referred to as, using a new simple four-step signup flow. The new signup flow allows IT admins to create an admin console account for Chrome browser cloud management, and it allows to optionally add the Chrome Enterprise Update and Workspace Free Essential subscriptions to your new account. So it looks like just a little bit easier way for those newer orgs coming over to CBCM to manage policies. Next is that delegated admins can see all of their devices. So those delegated admins can now view the devices in all organizational units that they have access to, rather than only devices in a single organization unit at a time. Then next, we have some new policies coming over into the admin console. So we have what looks here like 7 new policies in the admin console, and I'll quickly go through these. So there's now the allow only policy network to connect if available. That's under the network settings. There's another one for Chrome or for custom search domains under network settings. We have five new ones under user settings. First one is under other settings, which is high efficiency mode enabled. There's also a virtual keyboard resizes layout by default value under the user experience section. For power and shutdown, there's a new value for battery saver mode availability. And then for other settings, there's a tab discarding exceptions. And then finally, in the hardware area there for user settings, we have file system sync access handle async interface enabled. How about that one? File system sync access handle async interface enabled.
Wow. It's a mouthful.
It is indeed, yes. And there's a few coming soon items here down below, below that, but we'll link to that, those Chrome browser updates in the article, in our notes. So check those out. And then let's see here, in terms of next on our list, we have, we were talking about the Alpha Bundle coming over to GCC and what that looks like and how to get access. So we'll include a link there, but essentially go to the Google Cloud Connect community, sign up, make sure that you have access to that and subscribe to notifications. If you don't, there'll be some ways that you can request access, and that's how you will be using or getting notified of Alpha Bundle updates as of the next year. All right. And then ChatGPT. Jesse, why don't you talk about that one?
Yeah, this is a fun one. Everybody wake up from our dense updates there. I'll just mess with you, Steve. This is a fun one that has kind of, it's weirdly been covered. It's been all over tech Twitter, for those of you that are still there. And I've seen it on a bunch of tech blogs, but main, big-time websites, I haven't really seen writing about it at all. In fact, there were some tech publications that were saying, they were calling it the ChatGPT blackout, because it's like nobody's talking about it. But essentially, what this is it's an open AI project, and you are able to type a prompt. It's similar to how you could type, give me an image of Steve riding a banana, and it would, kick that out for you. This is, give it a prompt, and it will write out text, so as if you're chatting with it. So, for example, I told it to write a press release for Google Workspace, and it spit back out instantly. Google Workspace is the latest innovation from Google that provides a platform for businesses to collaborate and communicate more effectively. With Google Workspace, businesses can create and share documents, calendars, chat messages with colleagues. Google Workspace also includes built-in video conferencing systems so businesses can hold online meetings. Not bad for a robot. Obviously, it pulled bits and pieces of that from elsewhere. As I continued to play with it, it did obviously seem to have a template or a feel for how it wrote these things in certain areas. Don't worry, it's technical writers, it's not going to take that away from you yet. Marketers, it's not going to take that away from you yet. But it may be an interesting place to start, just as here's a framework or a structure for your article, and then you can go in and actually make it sound human. This is a pretty good start, but obviously, it is cookie cutter, so take that with a grain of salt. But there is a whole bunch of fun stuff that you can do with it, and I was also messing around and asking it what if AI is going to take over humanity, and it gave me a very AI-based, similar thing that AI would say if it were trying to convince us that AI is not going to take over humanity. And it is far too long for me to read here, but essentially it says it's unlikely that AI will ever take over humanity. While AI is becoming increasingly advanced and capable, it's still designed to assist and augment human activity, yada yada, not replace it, etc., etc. Which is exactly the type of thing that an AI would say if it was trying to convince us that they don't really want to take over when they actually do. So y'all better beware of that one. One thing that I forgot to mention is I was on the roadmap call earlier today. I think that was today. Yes. with Steve, and one of the participants gave us a shout out in the chat. They said, "Hey, Jesse, love Google Workspace Recap podcast." So that made my day. Thank you for saying that, and love hearing from any of our listeners out there who are, as we said in the beginning, wonderful, amazing fans, and wanted to give them a shout out on the show here. All right, y'all ready for this? Okay, we're gonna do something that we've never done here. I alluded to it a moment ago. Did you catch it, Steve? I said the word.
No.
The name of the company.
I didn't.
I said framework.
Yeah.
Introducing. I have just received the brand new Framework Chromebook Edition laptop. It's in the box. I haven't opened it yet. So I'm going to do an unboxing right here on the show right now. And you're going to get our hot takes from me and Steve of what this thing's got, what it can do. This is an all cardboard box. Even the inside of it, as I'm opening it, look at this, it's all cardboard. Steve's cracking right up over there.
I mean what else would it be? I don't know what else would I expect.
Well,
from
it's,
a box,
it's, I mean, Apple, you open one of their boxes and it's all beautiful white pristine design. I mean, it's still cardboard, but okay. it's not recycled cardboard like this looks like. Got but it. It's even the packaging inside. All right, so inside the box, you've got the power adapter, duh. You've got the Chromebook, duh, which is here. But you also have something over here, which is very, very interesting. One of the great things about the Framework Chromebook laptop and the regular Framework Windows laptop is the fact that it is designed to be, as I mentioned on a couple of shows here, basically completely customizable and repairable. Every single part inside has its own individual barcode, QR code. You can buy them all individually and even basically build them yourself if you want to buy all the individual parts off the website. And it is basically, they set out to say, all right, repairing laptops suck. The experience is just terrible. Excuse me. So let's design a laptop that can be completely and totally repaired. It actually, I believe, got a 10 out of 10 or 100% on the iFixit breakdown score, which has never, ever been done before. So really, really phenomenal job. Well done. But one of the cool things about it is that they have interchangeable modules. So you can choose when you're ordering what ports you want to have on the laptop. So I chose, for example, and my focus is locked back here, so I can't zoom in on these and show you, but I'll have to film some B-roll and put it over here next to us on the screen. But I chose Ethernet, obviously, because I like having Ethernet ports, an HDMI port, USB-A, and two USB-Cs. Now, there are only four ports that you can put these in, and these are little modular pieces that slot directly into the frame of the laptop itself. And the reason why I bought more than four is because, quite frankly, they're easily interchangeable. You can just pop them off and put on the one that you want. This is a USB-C connector on the end here, and there's a little button that pops it off. You can see how tiny this is, and this is the USB-C port. But if I go and I open the Ethernet one, which it looks a little bit beefier, pops out. Ooh, transparent. We got to bring the age of transparent electronics back. I missed that. But anyway, this is an Ethernet port, and it's a USB-C connector here, and it just slots directly into the laptop. Looks like it might stick out a little bit on the bottom here. Slots directly into the laptop, and then you have an Ethernet port. And so, basically, you choose when you're checking out what ports you want to have on here, and I'm not going to say it's the death of dongles or the end of dongles, but it's still pretty cool that you can kind of on the fly say, oh, I need my HDMI port. Here, let me pop it in and lose one of the USB-C ports. You do need to have at least one because, like every other Chromebook in the world, pretty much every other Chromebook in the world, they charge via USB-C. So you need to have that one there. The power adapter is your pretty standard power adapter, so I'm going to put that aside just for a second here. You know what? I can open it up real quick and show it off. Let's see what's in here. I think that it's going to be pretty straightforward, though. For those wondering, this is running inside, not the power adapter, but, ooh, it's tiny. I take it back. There's nothing standard about this. It's itty-bitty. It's USB-C on one side and Mickey Mouse on the other side. You get this, you get that, and all the pieces come apart, which is always appreciated. Again, because you can replace each one of these individually instead of having to replace the entire brick. So that's really awesome. The specs inside, almost spilled my drink. Specs inside are a 12th gen Intel Core i5 processor. It is specifically the 1240p model running up to 4.4 gigahertz. It's got a 256 gig SSD inside of it. And I believe there is a module that can increase that, but I did not get it. And it has 8 gig of DDR4 RAM. And here's the laptop. It looks like a Mac and a Chrome CR48 had a baby. Very nice, beautiful all around, has a good feel. I'm told it has a one-hand lift, which I'll try in a second, but I want to highlight these slots are where the little module pieces go. So this literally just slides right in there. Click, it's in, done. Now it's in there. Then there's a little button here that I can push, and I can just, okay, it's a little hard. That's a good thing. It should be hard. Maybe I had to push it harder. There we go. Got it out. Essentially, this is the laptop. Inside the box, it also comes with a handy-dandy framework screwdriver because everything is meant to be taken apart. And, whoo, stickers. We love stickers. So lots of good stickers. This is very much reminding me of the CR48 of the old days. These are definitely going on my production MacBook and I suppose on here as well. It feels good. It's light. Oh, the hinges open very nicely. And you've got an all-metal frame. You've got a glass trackpad. Actually, it's not haptic, so it does have some clickable here. The one thing it does not have, and this disappointed me, is a fingerprint meter. No biometric. And it actually looks like this right here should be a fingerprint sensor. And I'll try and get some B-roll of that as well so that you all can see. It's just the power button. And I think that at some point in the future, they'll probably put in a module that you can take this thing apart because that's what it's meant to do. And you'll be able to put one in. But even the bezel comes off and you can change the color of the bezel with something else if you want. It's got physical power cutoff switches for both the microphone and the camera up top here. It's got the headphone jack on the side over here. And a little charging light on this side as well. It's a 1080p, 60 frames per second webcam. The body is an aluminum body. It's 1.3 kilograms, and the keyboard is backlit. The price for this whole thing starts at $963, which is on the high end, honestly. But if you hold it up and compare it next to the Dragonfly, you can see that they are similar in build quality and, you know, feel in general. Metal feels good. So I haven't actually turned it on. I literally just opened it up now. So that's basically just the unboxing, my first impression here. It feels amazing. What do you think, Steve?
I think you gotta turn it on.
I do have to turn it on. I do have a USB-C port, but I need to plug in the USB-C widget, which I took out. One thing to note, it is not a touchscreen.
What OS are you running on this one?
It's going to be Chrome OS. This is the Chrome OS laptop. What do you mean, what OS am I running? You mean which version?
I don't know. I forgot which model you said it.
It's the Framework Chromebook Edition, frame.work. Yeah. And here you go. I plugged it in, and here's the screen. Woo, hit the mic, sorry. Here's the screen, already started up. So it's a glossy screen. I will give it that. I'm going to not show the part where I put in my my Wi-Fi information. It just went dark. Why did it just go dark? The power button is lit up. Must not have let it charge enough before it all turned on.
Could be. That's what happened with my Mac today. It took me about 5 minutes for it to get enough battery to turn on.
And here we go. It was just rebooted. All right, and there we go. It's checking for updates. Now, note, I don't have all the chips in. I just have one of them just so that I can power it. So, again, it can run with them. It can run without them. When you plug it in, it does recognize them. I'm not sure if it recognizes them on the fly, like if I were just to swap out while it was on one of the USB-A, for example, and put on the HDMI port, if it would pick that up right away. But we can definitely find that out. Keyboard feels good. It's a little bit squishy. Not bad. Not quite a MacBook Pro keyboard or the same as the Dragonfly. The Dragonfly has a little bit more give, like a little bit more pushback on the keys, which is generally something that I like. Let me just put in my password here.
I think they increased the price a little bit on the batch 2 here.
Oh, did they?
To $9.99 now.
Interesting. Let me just check the pre-order page. Interesting.
Unless that's with, maybe they included the extra expansion card slots.
I'm
not sure.
It could be batch 2 has gone up by a little bit. Prices as initially configured. I think it may change depending on what cards you get as well. So like, for example, if you drop one of the USB-Cs and you get a DisplayPort, it goes up a little bit. You can get an extra expansion card here of either 250 gig for $69 or 1 terabyte for $149, which is really not bad for an SSD. Yeah. I don't know what the speeds are for those that as they're attached, but you can also get a micro SD card one, module reader, for $19. The Ethernet one is $40. So all in all, it's great to see something that you can, you know, play around with and put together and whatnot. And if it breaks, literally everything on here is replaceable. The keyboard or the trackpad or even the screen, the bezel around the screen, the buttons, like everything. It's unbelievable. So they didn't pay me for this. I just think that this is a fascinating approach to computers. I'd like to see more companies enable us to repair more of our laptops. I love the design elements of my MacBook Pro and my iPhone, but I also do realize that it would be great to be able to actually repair more things on here, especially, you know, at the rate that things break. But you wanted to know which version of Chrome OS it ships with. I've got it up and running here, so I can tell you it's 106.0.5249.112. I will obviously put it into the beta channel and get it all up to date and everything. But that's it. It's up and running, and there's the screen. So I don't know if it's going to be able to see it. A bit washed out there. I'll get some B-roll. But honestly, trackpad feels great. Laptop feels great. It's pretty snappy. I mean, it better be. It's running an i5, right? I obviously like to immediately go and change the size of all of the items on the screen so that my resolution is taking advantage of the whole screen there, so you can see a little bit more. Let me get rid of that white settings screen, and then you can see the beautiful background that they give you in there. So, and it's washed out because that's just how my camera is set. My camera is primarily tuned to my face here and not to a screen, so I'll have to do some B-roll of that and throw it in there when I edit this thing up in the morning. So if you have any questions, let us know in the comments. Be happy to answer them. Going to be continuing to test this and play around with it, and I'll put out a review video hopefully in the next week or two. Steve, do you have any questions, comments, thoughts about this awesome little widget?
No, I'm just tempted to get one, actually. I haven't had a Chromebook in a long time.
Well, this is a pretty slick one. In case you are part of the people that are wondering, the Ethernet port module does stick out. That's the extra beefier. It sticks out a little bit there, and it sticks up. It doesn't. It does not go over the top of the bottom of the frame of the laptop. You can see there. That's basically maybe a teeny tiny bit, but it's basically flush there. But it, if you're gonna have that in there all the time, it is not flush. But that's because the jack itself is thicker than the laptop, so that's not something that is totally abnormal. But one of the great things about this is if they come out with a smaller module that takes advantage of maybe some of the foldable designs that we've seen out there from other manufacturers, and you want to switch to that in a year from now, you can. You just buy that module, swap this one out, swap that one in, and you're done. So anyway, I think that this is a super-duper cool approach, and the logo is super cool. The whole package, the whole everything about it is super-duper cool, and I will definitely be using this on the regular and playing around with it. It is not a touchscreen, though, and there is no fingerprint reader, so they could have done a little bit better there, but it is Wi-Fi 6E, Bluetooth 5.2, etc., etc., so pretty good stuff there. Anyway, this was our first official unboxing on the show. It's pretty interesting. So you were gonna say something, Steve?
No.
Okay. Well, that's all for this week. Send us your questions and comments on Twitter at Workspace Recap and on our website, workspacerecap.com. Hit the subscribe button wherever you are listening to us and leave us a review if you would. If you have questions or comments and you're over on the YouTube side, feel free to drop them in the comment section below. Give us a thumbs up if you could, and have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Workspace Recap.